Tim Stearns. How you doing, buddy?
Good, John. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so Wednesdays with Tim. Do you feel different on a Wednesday, or you feel, I mean, it's a little off, but we're still going to do a good job here.
John, we're both professionals. We'll get through this.
We sure will. Yeah, no show yesterday, but here we are on a Wednesday. Yes, and, sir. You know, I was chatting about you last week, and you sent me this article about buy and hold versus buy and hope. And I thought that was a really great way to sum up what it's like as you get closer to retirement, the change that needs to happen, right?
Well, I mean, even if you're my age, which is 54, you know, buying and hoping is not a thing for me. You know, I don't want to say that I can take a lot of risk at this level. I've put a lot of money away for my retirement, and I don't want to squander it chasing pipe dreams that might work out, might not work out. And I want to, you know, having a plan means that you have diversification as part of it, and making sure that you know exactly what you own and why you own it.
Maybe the transition from buy and hold to buy and hope isn't an immediate, like, switching on over. These can be gradual transitions, right?
Yes. Let's go back. You can use the bucket approach, right? You can have your fun, right? Your fun bucket of stocks that you can play with, you know, and if they go up and down, that's fine. But, you know, it's gradually you need to start reducing your downside risk, you know, so that during volatile markets, like what we've seen the last couple of weeks, you're not sweating it. I mean, I just figure, don't people want to be happy?
And I think what you've identified is the vast majority of people, they don't look to try and say, I want to beat all my neighbors and have the most in retirement. I just want to live through retirement comfortably, like the way I envisioned it.
Well, the bottom line is, you know, sometimes as a certified financial planner, I have to keep my clients from hurting themselves. So you want to make sure that you're diversifying across assets to minimize exposure to any single sector or market event, like a war that's going to absolutely pull you back years, that's going to put exposure to you that you can't recover from. That's terrible.
You know, they often use the example of, like, can you withstand a 20% drop? But 20% would be like, oh, well, we can all kind of deal with that in the long run. Tim, what I don't think people really budget for is a 40 to 50% drop, which sounds insane, but right, it's happened a couple times in our lifetimes.
Absolutely. I think we've gotten kind of remiss with having a 16-year bull market, essentially. And I remember it takes me back to what one of my mentors always told me, is he said, bull markets take the stairs and a bear market takes the elevator. And that's what we've seen the last 2 weeks in the markets. And we need to remember that, you know, to come back from this takes a lot more work than to lose it.
The article you sent me put this in a way that I hadn't seen before, that they say, remember, a 30% loss requires a 43% gain just to break even. And I thought that math doesn't math. But you're right. If you want to get back to where the gradual growth is, and you go down 30%, and the longer that 30% stays stagnant, the more ground you have to make up to get back to your trajectory of where you want it for retirement. So when we say down 20 or 30%, we're really saying a catch-up of 30 to 40 to 50% to get back on track.
Not to mention, if I'm retired, I'm pulling money from that when it's down.
Yes.
And I'm locking in the losses.
And we're not trying to scare people, Tim. I feel like sometimes that feels like, I know you're a bet on America guy. I feel like that way too. The trend is our friend, and it will be, but there's just different strategies needed depending on how close you get. So someone comes into their 40s, you're still more of a buy and hold guy while still planning ahead for the future. But what age would you say it is where you start talking to people about, hey, maybe we need to look at this a little differently?
Well, I always think you should be planning, whether it's, you know, in your 40s or 50s, it's never too late. But at the end of the day, to do a protect and grow plan, I think at least in your 50s, you need to be looking down the road and making sure you're diversified. You look at the fact that about 70% of the growth of the markets the last 15 years has been from, you know, 7 to 8 different stocks. That's a little scary.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that we're not trying to play the hot hand. We're not at a casino. We're not at the blackjack table, whatever analogy you want to use. We need to make sure that we're not part of the next downturn where we're having to work extra years and we have to say to our spouse, oops, I screwed up. So having a plan, I think never too late to get with someone and to give us a call.
Yeah, I also think it is about that diversifying. You look at how well the stock market has done last year was a pretty good year, right? And I think any of us would take the growth we got last year, but emerging markets and some other markets actually did better. Doesn't mean I'm taking all my money out of the US and moving it there, but it's about diversifying things. So you're kind of maximizing where you can and hedging where you need to.
Right. Exactly. I mean, and that's why you had, you spread the money amongst the different sectors. And obviously the other big thing is make sure you're putting in defensive measures, you know, whether they're buffers or stop losses or having, you know, some covered calls in there. There's a lot of different strategies out there that can keep you from getting harmed in a downturn.
After the oil crisis of the 70s and early 80s till basically 2020, inflation was riding at 1.5 to 2%, and we felt great about it. Yep. You ticked that up. I mean, I know we went up to 9% very briefly month over month or year over year back in 2022. Yep. But even going to 3% from 2% eats away a lot sooner than people think. So it's about calibrating our expectations for retirement on what could possibly happen with inflation, managing those expectations too.
And that's why when we do a protect and grow plan, we're building in the historical rate of 3% inflation into the plan.
3%. That's what you guys use as a baseline. I think that's smart.
Always.
Yeah. I mean, you might get a little higher than that sometimes. And maybe, God willing, we get 40 years again of only 2%, and then you're ahead of the game. But it's smart to plan for that.
Right. We'd rather underpromise, overperform.
Yeah. I do feel like from buy and hold to buy and hope is no good. I say, what do I hope? What do I want to look forward to in retirement? Hope is not a word I want to be. I hope this happens. I hope I get to golf every day. I hope I get to take some vacations and travel like we planned. That's no good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hope that the market doesn't crash again. You hope that interest rates or inflation doesn't derail your income plan. And then most importantly, you hope that you don't outlive your money.
Tim, I'm looking at the tattoo I have on my left arm here that you made me get a couple weeks ago. 800-640-2256. That's 800-640-2256. I'm going to put it on the right arm as well. Actually, maybe I'll put tjsterns.com here on the right arm so I never forget, my friend.
Of course.
All right, 800-640-2256. People can call you, no minimum, and you just chat through everything with them, right?
That's of course. We're happy to take a look at everyone's situation as best we can.
All right. Enjoy, Tim. Have a good one.
All right, thanks.
That's a Tuesdays with Tim. Quick break, then more on WGN.